Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. We are, of course, the flagship show of the 10-12 Network, your place for all sort of Big 12 goodness, and partners with Sports Drink, your source for all things sports and non-sports, a fantastic podcast network in their own right. I am your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us this Thursday. It's Thursday. That means we are making picks for every Big 12 game, and I never do this alone. You're welcome. Joining me, as they do every week, our pro picker himself, Daniel Alexander.
Hey, I got, after last week, I've got some job applications out, looking, anyone hiring. I'm ready.
In this economy, you shouldn't have any issues finding a job. I think everyone's looking for employees. I should be light enough to take you. Of course, the other fellow picker we have each week is our good friend, the LGGOG himself, Chris Ross.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. If you guys need help with your picks this week, just let me know.
Ooh, it's fair. You won last week. We'll get to that. So you're welcome to gloat. I just, you know, gloating on this show has a history of not working out the following week. We are not alone this week. It is a light card. And when we have a light card, I like to bring on a friend to come and do some picks with us today. Joining us, he is a many-time guest here on the show. And I don't know if this is a first-time picker or if you have picked with us in the past, but our good friend Keegan Renaud is joining us again. Keegan, welcome.
As always, appreciate it. Always glad to join along. And I think I will join with Daniel in saying, yeah, the last 4 weeks of college football have absolutely ripped me apart. However, I will say there's a lot of variance at play in that. There's been a lot of crazy outcomes that I've chosen to pick games that have had the opposite of what should happen. But we'll roll with it. I think I'm 52-69 on the year against the number across the board. But I'm glad I get to isolate myself into some picks here where I'm not like picking games on my own. So maybe I'll have some success this week.
Well, you do get a non-Big 12 game, so you can go as sicko mode as you want on that or not at all. Of course, we as I said, we do every Big 12 game here. Before we get to our picks, okay, so Keegan, I'm glad you're here. I know this is something that you are somewhat familiar with as well. And Daniel, I want to talk about this. Latest odds as far as Big 12 title. Now, I saw the odds from Caesars, which came out on Monday. Very different, or at least slightly different than the odds that I found from Bet Online today as of the time of recording this on Wednesday. On Monday, Caesars Lions had TCU as the favorite plus 115. Texas at plus 250. Oklahoma State at plus 300. Kansas State at plus 800, everyone else. Baylor was next at plus 2,000, everyone else was far greater than that. Today, at the time of recording this, TCU is plus 130, Oklahoma State at plus 275, Texas at plus 350, so OSU and Texas swapped. Kansas State at plus 450, not nearly as valuable as they were on Monday, unless Caesar's numbers remain the same. Baylor at plus 2,000, everyone else way back. And I'm not going to include everybody else's numbers because I don't think anybody else in the Big 12 is in a viable spot to even make the title game, let alone win it. Daniel, I don't know how much you do betting as far as conference championships are concerned. I know we've talked about this some. Like, at this point, do you see any value in anybody if you wanted to make a pick or put some money down right now today?
Probably the same team. So before the season starts, I usually like to grab a team or two where I do see value. I don't know if you recall, and I've got some real money down. K-State, we had them around like 20-1, you know, plus 2,000 before the year. You know, like you just read off, they're sort of sitting in that sort of plus 500 to plus 800 range across a couple books. So obviously we've got some good value there. I still think if you could get somewhere around that 8-1, you know, K-State's not a bad draw. They're playing well. They're running the ball well. You know, they're two quarterback injuries in one game away from being the favorite, right? I mean, they had an 18-point lead last week, and we'll get into that brutal beat later, but you know, K-State 8-1.
Let's not. We don't have to get into that. We don't have to get into it.
You know, like TCU at basically even money. Like, why even bother, right? Just go ahead and, you know, there'll probably be a short line in the championship game. So it's like, just save your money and maybe money line them there and just see where they end up. They might even be a dog in the championship game, whoever they end up playing. So, skip that, big fave. Yeah, K-State, 8-1. There's probably your real value.
Keegan, you got any thoughts?
I would stay away from conference odds in the Big 12 for at least one more week. And you may hear a dinging here in a second. Hopefully you don't. And I, of course, left the door open for the dogs. But no, I would not. I think there's too much unknown. Last weekend, we were very close to just opening this entire thing up. And hopefully I can walk and do this all nice and fine without it being too noisy. But I think like the biggest thing with the Big 12 is that there are some outcomes. If you looked at last weekend, if you would have gotten a Kansas State win over TCU, I mean, you're looking at more than likely finding a team with that has three losses playing in the Big 12 title game after all the tiebreakers and everything that comes with it. So, you know, I don't think there's a ton of value in the conference odds, but I will say like the Texas stuff is really interesting in the way that it's played out because that game against Alabama, when you look across the broader market, specifically with models and data, the Alabama performance against Mississippi State last week defensively after the Tennessee's game really elevated Alabama and all the teams that they have played to this point. So Texas got a nice little upgrade, and specifically SP Plus, it got the biggest one over at ESPN, but with Bill Connelly. So, you know, I think that there's still some, like, if I'm not going to jump into conference odds right now, as you know, Philip. Yeah, I mean, I don't place any real money. Daniel also wants you to hear this. I don't place any real money because it's illegal for me to do it for my job. But if I could have bought the entire city of Manhattan at like the ninth best odds in the conference to win the league this summer, I was trying to do so. So I still feel pretty strongly about Kansas State. Their profile is about what I expected to start the year and where they're at right now. And then just kind of the outcomes thing here. If Kansas State had won last weekend and if Oklahoma State wins this weekend, this whole thing could just unwind and be really, really fun here the final four games.
I still think there's plenty of opportunity for fun for the end of the season. I mean, no matter who wins this weekend, you still have – Texas still has to play Kansas State and TCU. Baylor still has Kansas State and TCU and Texas on their schedule. And we said it on Monday, I'm not ready to put Baylor back in even as like outside shot. But we have to have, we can't just completely cut them out until they lose again. Now, they might, and we'll talk about that obviously this weekend in Lubbock in the Butt Bowl, but Baylor still kind of controls their own destiny the rest of the way because of the teams that they have left on the schedule in front of them. And as you mentioned, tiebreakers, I think, are going to come into play a lot as to who gets to the title game this season. It's why this weekend's Oklahoma State-Kansas State game matters so much. It's why Kansas State and Texas the following weekend is going to matter so much. It's just like tiebreakers are going to matter. They mattered last year. They're going to matter this year, probably even more so. So like every week is, I thought somebody, I think it was Robbie Triano of Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM was like, what's the biggest game left on the schedule? And I was like, can I just do biggest game each week? Because there's no way to pick one because every week there's a new big game for the Big 12 that could decide the outcome. And I think it's going to be that way all the way until the final game of the season, potentially in the regular season.
I agree with you completely. And again, you just want to get down the sicko well here and just start going through some outcomes in the Big 12. Like if Oklahoma State this weekend, Oklahoma State still has to go on the road to Norman, right? And not sitting here saying like Oklahoma is going to figure some things out. But, you know, if I do have a take of potential value rising, you get one outcome this weekend, which is an Oklahoma State win in Manhattan, and you start to put a pathway to maybe Oklahoma finding a way to get themselves back into that conversation. They'd probably need Texas to lose a couple games too. But if you get three lost teams in Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State, you know, you have some opportunity there. And I think they're a seventh or eighth in the Big 12 odds. So that's the only one. But I would just specifically say, at least from like a gambling perspective here, like I don't know if the Big 12 conference is the one to – there's not enough edge or confidence of me in any team to sit here and say that team's going to go on a run and win the Big 12 title outside of TCU basically being a lock at this point to make it, unless that they fall this week or next week. Then that opens up some conversations for some really weird – outcomes in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. You know what? Let's look at last week. Let's see what happened. You know what? Chris has been bragging. He deserves to do so. He was our big winner last week. Congratulations, sir. Chris went 5-4, the only person to finish with a winning record last week. Man, every time I do this, why are you changing it to a date? I want it to just be... Hold on just a second.
Make it a text field.
I know to make it a text field. Okay.
But no, just to talk on that. I mean, 5-4 is not great. And I would just be like, eh. But anytime I take multiple games on you and Phil or you and Daniel, then I do feel good about that.
This is being annoying. I'll deal with it later. So you went 5-4, hit on TCU -3.5, hit on Texas Tech -6.5, hit on Liberty +7, hit on East Carolina +5, and hit on Wake -20.5 versus Boston College. Your misses were Kansas +8 versus Baylor, Cincinnati -3.5 versus SMU. We all got that one wrong. Thanks at Cincinnati. missed on Navy +3 against Houston and missed on Texas -6 against Oklahoma State. So like I said, 5-4 last week brings your total to 35, 39, and 1. I came in second with a wonderful 3-5-1. There are now, we have 6 like pushes this season. I think that's the most pushes we've ever had, like of all previous seasons combined. I don't know how this keeps happening, but it has. I hit on Houston -3 versus Navy, hit on the over 54 in TCU Kansas State, and hit on Oklahoma State +6 in Texas OSU. Push on over 58 in Baylor Kansas. That was, the total was 58. Hit a missed on Cincinnati -3.5. Again, thanks a lot, Cincinnati. We all lost on that one. Missed on West Virginia +6.5 for Texas Tech. Missed on BYU -7 versus Liberty. Missed on UCF -5 versus ECU. And missed on UAB +2 versus Western Kentucky. Another bad beat there. UAB should have had that one. Then Parker tweeted about it, and so I will blame Parker for it. 3-5-1 last week brings my total to 34, 39, and 2. 2, I don't like these pushes. I don't know why I believed in UCF last week. They fooled me. They will not fool me again. Don't worry. These four incoming schools outside of Cincinnati, don't trust them to win big, but the other ones, I don't trust any of you at all. You're all on probation for the time being. Daniel, sorry, bud. 1-7-1 last week. Not a great week.
Are you sure about that? Double check that.
Let's run down the list here. You hit on Vandy +14 versus Missouri. Good job. Your push was the under 58 in Baylor, Kansas, because they scored 58. Your misses were Cincinnati -3.5. Missed on the under 51.5 in Houston Navy. Missed on Kansas State +3.5. Missed on West Virginia +6.5. Missed on Texas -6. Missed on BYU -7. And missed on UCF -5. Fun fact about last week. There were 4 occurrences where 2 of us picked one side and 1 picked the other. The one who picked the other in all of those was the one who won. Daniel was in agreement on every single one of those.
There was some bad beats. Like, there were some bad losses. BYU, like I said, I hope they're withdrawing from joining the Big 12 because they're not ready. They can go check. Maybe the Fun Belt will take them or something like that. But UCF, I knew they'd have trouble with ECU's O-line. But look, just bad bet. ECU stepped up and did the job. Texas, they got Gundied. See you later. Hey, but look, Kansas State up 18. And they're not covering 3.5. Give me a break. We had that Navy under late touchdown, screwed us. And Cincinnati,
want to talk about the final drive. I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, three's got to land here. There's no way they're not covering 3. And then I think they got 40 plus yards of penalty yardage on that final scoring drive.
So ugly. Well, and the thing is, they were up 15 with correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 6 minutes to go or something. They're up 15 points. It's like, okay. They were cruising the whole game, and then it's like, oh, what's that? Dan picked Cincinnati on the podcast. Okay, guys, real quick, let's not cover this game. Let's make sure we win, though. And so made sure I got the loss, and they got off the field, and whatever. Tough week. It's just about how you bounce back, dude. It's like when you get slammed like that, making a bunch of picks, can you come back and try to right the ship? We'll see what we got this week. Now, hey, we got a competition now. Now this is like a 3-way race here.
Yes, because your total is now 35, 37, and 3. We're all right there. I will say this. That drive, SMU gets the touchdown, and I'm like, please just get the 2-point conversion, because the worst thing that could happen is they don't convert the two points, and then Cincinnati just hangs onto the ball and wins by 2. And, of course, SMU can't convert, and Cincinnati wins by 2 as opposed to tying it up. And then, well, we might get a touch. No, literally could just like, great, good Cincinnati. Thank you for winning your game again. I'm very proud of you. Thank you so much. This is what I get for trusting you with. I'm like, I don't trust them with a big score, but 3.5, they can do that. Mm. All right. We have picks for this week, like we said. Keegan will be joining us, and we will get to that here in just a minute.
Hey, this is Jamie Steyer Johnson, host of the Cyclone Family Podcast. I host a show with my brother, Eric Steyer, and the two of us were raised in the ISU athletic department, as my mom has coached women's basketball for over 20 years. Our involvement didn't stop there, and I've been a radio analyst for Cyclone Women's Basketball since 2019, and Eric spent his 2018 to 2022 years as a walk-on on the men's side. We get together each week to talk about what's happening in the world of Cyclone sports, whether that be current seasons, former players, or whatever else we find to be of interest. We'd love to have you join us. The Cyclone Family Podcast. When you listen, you're family. Do you think Olive Garden can sue me for that?
I'm Sam, and I co-host the Scott Holm Podcast, the known universe's first Houston Cougar sports podcast. Every week, even during the offseason, my co-host Dustin and I come on and talk everything current as it relates to the Cougs, and every so often, we'll bring on UH luminaries like Carl Lewis, Kellen Sampson, and a number of other fantastic Cougar voices. And as proud members of the 10-12 Network, we also find the time to talk about our future conference and future opponents in the Big 12. As well, if all of that sounds even a little bit interesting to you, we would love it if you subscribe to the Scott Holm Podcast on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you put podcasts in your ears. That's podcast spelled P-A-W-D-cast, because the two of us hosting the show are nothing if not big dorks. So thank you, and go Cougs.
All right, you boys ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Rock.
All right, that's what I like to hear. All right, we are kicking things off with a future Big 12. Remember, we do this in chronological order other than our game of the week, which we throw in somewhere randomly. This game is being played on Friday, so it is first up BYU hosting East Carolina, coming off their big upset win over UCF. BYU currently a... Why did they just disappear on me? This website drives me nuts. Okay. BYU is a 3-point favorite over East Carolina at home in Provo. Over under at about 62. Keegan, as our guest this week, you have the privilege of going first here, sir. What would you like?
We're doing just the BYU game, right? Okay. Just going down in order?
We're just going to these games in order. So right now we're just talking BYU, ECU.
I would like to see BYU's injury report. I hinted at it early this week that there are some games that I have some eyes on that I would like to see some injury reports as we go throughout the week to get a good feel for it. I've made one decision injury-wise, trying to project it out with Spencer Sanders' injury against TCU, and TCU still didn't cover 4.5 despite winning that game. So it's an interesting one. East Carolina last weekend, I think a lot of people in the data space were pretty shocked at UCF and how strongly they had been rated heading into the East Carolina game. I don't have a good feel on this game. I'll be completely honest about it. BYU is the better team. I think BYU's probably had the best quarterback on the field in every game that they have played. Obviously, the rest of the roster has been hurt. And so that is obviously a big conversation with this game. And then again, how do you look at that, Matt? Like, what do you look at the line at, right? Like, if East Carolina doesn't come out last weekend and take care of UCF, like, where is this line at? And then you kind of flip it back with the BYU Liberty game. So I don't have necessarily a good feel on a side or total in this game until I saw some injuries. But ultimately, I think BYU is going to be fine. So I'll give me BYU and the points in this one. I think they'll bounce back.
All right. Chris, you won last week, so you are next up, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel kind of hinted at this earlier. I don't know what BYU was doing last week to get boat raced by Liberty, even at Liberty. I mean, I'm the one who took Liberty, and I thought maybe they can pull off the win at home, but I didn't see it in that fashion. In injuries, yeah, it seems like something else is going on at BYU, like something in the locker room, something like they're just a team without focus, a team without confidence. In ECU, a couple wins under their belt, getting their feet underneath them. I don't like that it's in Provo, but I also don't like what's going on with BYU right now. I'm going to take ECU to get the cover.
Okay, very nice. Well, we don't have a full injury report yet. We do know that for BYU, leading receiver Cody Epps and running back Chris Brooks, leading rusher Chris Brooks, will both be out for the game on Friday. This is a beat-up BYU team who will be going in a short week to play on Friday. Not super short, but it is still a Friday game. ECU on the road, like, they're better than I thought they would be this season. They're at least interesting and fun. I'm having a hard time trusting BYU. Another thing is, you know, we talk about our schedule rating. We post our schedule rating Wednesday out on Twitter. And if you have not seen it, it's very simple. You look at its color. Every game is color-coded. Gold is good. Blue is bad. Darker gold is the best. Darker blue is the worst. And so it's a good way, similar to what the College Football Playoff Committee views, as a way of gauging how your schedule stacks up. Now, they use red-green, but we're not going to use red-green because it's a colorblind issue, so we're not going to use it. When I look at BYU's schedule so far this season, the only good team, the only team in gold they have beaten is Baylor at home way back in week two. Everyone else is blue. They've lost to every other gold team. So every other good team they faced, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Liberty, Oregon, they have lost to this season. ECU, well, they're in gold. In fact, they're a darker gold. They're a higher rated team due to composite ratings than BYU is. Now, part of that, of course, BYU is 4-4. East Carolina is, I'm going to find the record as soon as I can. It doesn't seem to want to find it for me. Why is it? I can't. Oh, ECU is 5-3. East Carolina is literally one spot ahead of BYU on the composite ranking. So, BYU at home, leading rusher, leading receiver out. Chris, I'll agree with you. I'll take ECU plus 3. I don't love this, but I also don't love the spot for BYU without two of their top weapons on a short week, as beat up as this team is. Keegan, you noted before the show, and I think you're right, this is not the same BYU team that we thought we would have coming into the season. It's just not. No matter how many guys they're getting back this week, that none of them are 100%. They're just well enough to play. So I know injuries are part of college football, but man, BYU, it's just this season is not what it could have been had they been able to stay healthy. Daniel, that leaves you, sir.
BYU is 0-5 against the spread in their last five games. They're reeling, man. I have no real take on this game. I'm going to stay far away. Both these teams burned me in different ways last week. I just have no interest, not on my card. But with that said, we got to pick something tonight, right? So ECU looked great. BYU looked terrible. ECU is, you know, metrically right now, maybe the more popular team, the hotter team to back. So why in the world is BYU a 3-point favorite, right? It's like, what? These guys not only have to win, they have to go win this game, you know, by some margin here. Doesn't make any sense. So give it to me. BYU minus 3. I'm so glad I don't have a penny on this game. I hate both these teams this week.
After all that, you're going to ride with BYU.
It makes no sense. ECU looked great.
I like it. Beaters. If it was 3-1, I was going to hate my pick. But I like. Thank you for splitting it.
I mean, seriously, BYU looked awful, blown out against the spread, blown out in real life, embarrassed, fly home, short week. ECU coming off a great win, great team win, great team defense last week with ECU. Man, they did an awesome job. They go on a short week. It's like everything's pointing to East Carolina. So, of course, let's take BYU, who's favored by 3.
And to kind of even add on that, at least from my end, I have this game at 5. So I was not surprised too much to see it come out that way, but I don't have any confidence in where I have BYU slotted right now. I can tell you that.
There we go. I like it. We got an even split here. 2 on ECU, 2 on BYU. All right, let's move on down the list to another incoming AAC to Big 12 member. That is Houston facing South Florida. Houston, a 17.5 point favorite at home. Over under in this one is 61. That's gone quite up a bit. Chris, sir, you are first up. What would you like?
Not to pick on this game, because I don't believe in Houston. Like, every time I pick them, I don't know if I've won a single pick when Houston's involved. I was looking. Yeah. Houston should be the heavy favorite. You would think they could this is probably a three score game, 17 and a half. I mean, it requires a three touchdown. I don't like it. Over under 61. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go over. I'm going to take the over because I don't like either side. I mean, UCF or USF is not good, but Houston's too inconsistent to believe in anything they're doing. So, yeah, I mean, maybe some points. I'll take over the 61.
Sir, I don't appreciate that. Don't. It's not what I wanted you to say.
I got to keep this half game lead I have on you.
Because I too wanted the over. Man. USF is bad. They're real bad. They're down bad, bad. Gary Bohannon is out for the season. Their head coach is on. That seat isn't hot. That seat is molten lava, but they were playing okay, and then Gary got hurt, and so now he may survive for another year. I don't trust Houston for squat. My problem with the over, because the over has been very good with Houston. Based off closing line numbers, 6-1, the over is. But the problem with that is it's 61 right now, and the last 4-1, and over is 4-1 in the last five games, and those totals have all been in the 50s, not at 61. 58, 55. Houston's going to have to do most of the heavy lifting if they're going to hit that over. I don't want to touch Houston as a favorite by that much ever for any reason against any team. I don't trust them. I am actually going to go the other way and take the under. Houston will have to do all the heavy lifting. I don't trust USF's offense to do much of anything. Could Houston put up 50-something points on this game? Sure, they could. USF's pretty bad. Houston will be at home. But I'm going to take the under. I don't think it quite reaches that because I just don't think South Florida can do enough to help get it there. So, Daniel?
Just because we all know Dana listens to the pod. Okay, yes. We all know his game script is just in spite of me. Okay? So, oh, it's so true. I hope I see him in an airport or something one day just to confirm it, but This South Florida team, they rallied really hard and they played Cincinnati so well a few weeks ago. They played that game close, but you go look at anyone else that they, you know, East Carolina, Louisville, Tulane. I mean, these are sort of middling teams. A few of these teams are sort of right in the same wheelhouse as Houston as far as like my ratings and metrics go. I hate Houston. No, I can't do it. I'm taking South Florida. I was literally about to take Houston. This is another game I'm not going to have a penny on. You talk about a team I just hate, Houston. God, they burned me so bad last week. I had real money on that under. No, I can't take Houston. We're going South Florida, 17 and a half. This guarantees Houston covers the spread. South Florida, give them to me.
They're gonna score a last minute touchdown just to spite you.
I mean, that's sure. What it is with Houston. It really doesn't matter if you pick with them or against them; they will screw you.
Chris, you are winless when you pick Houston. The only times you haven't, you picked Kansas and won. You picked a total and won. And I think you picked Houston once, and it was a push. Keegan, you're up, sir.
Well, I picked Navy last week and lost.
Well, there you go.
I'm on Daniel's side a little bit here. I think whenever you look at Houston, are they 17 points better than anybody on their schedule? I'm not sure of that. I'm unsure that Houston is unable to, you know, is able to play clean football. Also, at the same time, too, I just want to talk about Navy for a second because it's an important conversation regarding SMU as well. Like that game, like SMU's defense completely let Navy back into that game a couple weeks ago. And I think that's why you saw such a short line against Houston last weekend, as well as that Houston struggled against a triple option offense in Kansas. Specifically, the linebackers and safeties were very undisciplined. So with all that being said, I don't know if there's a big drop-off between Gary Bohannon and any backup quarterback in the country, maybe except for Davis Bevel at Oklahoma. And so I don't think Houston's 17.5 points better than anybody. So I will, I'll take South Florida in a little interesting spot here where Houston's just way too inconsistent for my liking. And Navy's defense is really bad. I mean, that's a defense that Tanner Mordecai just went up and down the field on the entire game and ran past it. Not just throwing, but he ran all over him too. So I'm going to take South Florida I'm going to take South Florida as an underdog here. I think it's at 17.5. Mm-hmm. So I'll feel good about that. I don't have it as a pick this week, but it was something I was a little bit monitoring. I know people are like immediately adjusting South Florida based off the quarterback replacement, but I just think it's too many points.
Fair enough. All right, moving on down, a Big 12 team current. TCU, undefeated overall, undefeated in Big 12 play, going on the road to West Virginia as a 7.5 point favorite, over under at 69. Nice. It's me. It's me first. You know what? West Virginia is not as bad as they looked against Texas Tech. I know West Virginia fans are down bad. They're down real bad. They're down so bad. And I get it. This season is not going well. West Virginia is going bowling would be an absolute miracle for West Virginia at this point. I don't care how up and down and crazy it is. West Virginia is just, unfortunately, this year, the worst team in a deep and really good Big 12 conference. That doesn't mean you're a bad team. It just means you're the worst team in a talented conference. Talked about this on Monday. Put the sound clip out. I still think if West Virginia was playing in the ACC, they'd be going bowling. I think if they were playing the Pac-12, they'd probably have a pretty good chance of going bowling. It's not going to happen in the Big 12. It's just too deep. There's enough bad teams in the Pac-12. Keegan giving me some weird stink eye right now. West Virginia would be fine if they had some Arizonas, Arizona States, Colorados.
This is a team that needed to rely on turnovers to beat the crap out of a bad Virginia Tech team. I don't know if I'm too high and much on.
And had a weird fluky turnover away from beating Pitt. And we just needed one stop to beat Kansas. I get it, but they're not bad. I'm not saying that they're great. They're in the gold, so they're not a bad team. They're not bad till they're in the blue. They're in the gold. We're good to go. So all that said, at some point TCU, this ain't the game. I'll just take TCU. I'm making life easy.
I'll go ahead and make it quick. Yeah, take TCU -7. This line makes no sense. I've got TCU. I think I've got this line at 5 to 6 points higher. So I will, I still see the value. I don't get the number at all. Makes no sense to me. But I will go ahead and get out of the way quickly because I don't have much of a stance besides the fact that I don't think West Virginia is a very good football team. So I will I'll like TCU by more than a touchdown.
We agree, Chris.
Anyway, just so we're clear, we're 7.5 now, right? Are we
yes,
7 or
we're 7.5?
Okay, 7.5.
Does that change your opinion, Keegan? The hook.
I think you can get it at 7 right now somewhere. I just had it pulled up. Give me a sec. But if it's at 7.5, I don't care either or. I'd take it.
I mean, someone on earth is hanging you a juiced up 7, but for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, Five Dimes has it at 15. So, yeah, that's why.
7.5 it is. Chris, what you want?
Yeah, I mean, this line is suspicious. So much so that I don't like it. It seems too easy to take TCU. They're coming off a 4-game stretch of straight top 20 opponents where they went 4-0. They're looking good. But in the Big 12, this is the kind of game that gets you. In West Virginia, at home, weird things can happen. The spread is suspiciously low. I also like that the half point cover there. I'm going to take West Virginia.
Wow.
Bold, sir.
I thought for sure I'd walk into 3 people taking TCU.
You were really hoping. But yeah, no, please. Now you have to take TCU and I'm liking it.
Daniel, this is why I texted you beforehand about home dogs coming off blowout losses. What you got for me?
So I cooked it up for you. And look, this is sort of arbitrary, right? Meaning what's a blowout loss? Is it 15? Is it 20? Is it, I just chose 3 touchdowns. So I said, a visitor coming off a, you know, 3 touchdown or more loss, and then they go home and they're getting 7. Not a profitable spot for the home dog here. Like I said, my stuff goes back to 2006. Since then, so if you've got a team that was on the road the week before, lost by 21 or up, comes home, 7-point dog or greater, they are 259 and 302-9 against the spread. Nice sample, right? We got almost 600 games, but $100 better would be down almost $6,000 taking the home dog. So it's not a profitable spot for that home dog to be in. So, you know, again, arbitrary numbers, arbitrary starting points, but it gives us some color of, you know, a historical situation that West Virginia is in this week. Sure. So, with that said, I'm with Keegan. My line's a little closer to like 10.5 on this for TCU. Again, it's one of those things that makes no sense. TCU, hero comeback. A hero cover, actually. Crap, not just the comeback. Down 18, and then they win the game by double digits.
Yeah, I was never worried about that pick.
Don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, crazy game. Oh, I'm walking around. I'm walking around my hometown here just mumbling to myself like the crazy guy who's stuck on some game from 10 years ago. Dude. And then West Virginia shows up to Texas Tech. I had them last week. Thought they'd be hanging a little bit, be competitive. Just butts kicked, man. I mean, Texas Tech just woodshedded West Virginia. So, right, none of this makes any sense. Another line that makes no sense at all. It's like I want to take TCU all day long. So, for that reason, give me West Virginia, 7.5.
Oh.
Dude, it's TCU's good. They're going to blow them out this game. This is going to be so stupid.
So why are you taking it? It's fine.
Because
the Big 12 is so weird this year. It's just, it is. And like this, I mean, I don't want to say that TCU is looking ahead to Texas Tech next week.
I can already see us. We're all going to be texting on Saturday morning when West Virginia goes up 14-0. Like, what's going on? What's happening?
Max Duggan's thrown an interception, yeah. And they've had a fumble, or like all the luck just turned over in one game or something. Yeah. Yeah. I do think I will point out right now, Beta Rank. I know. I think Philip uses, or at least looks at Rob Bowron does over there at Beta Rank. Mm-hmm. Now has Texas Tech as the 10th best team in the country, only using in season data. So,
wow.
Thought that was a pretty big adjustment. And again, I don't know how much Texas Tech's performance against Texas, right? When you start looking down the line with the Alabama stuff, how much the like strength of schedule and strength of record plays into it. But Texas Tech got a huge upgrade, at least at one place that I respect and use frequently. So I thought that was interesting, but I think West Virginia is a bad football team. So I'd wrap that up with that. I don't think they're very good.
Listen, I've got Texas Tech at 23. That's my own numbers. That's where I have Texas Tech.
So we have our composite rankings from CFP Resume Rankings. John Wheeler, our 10-12 stats guy, Texas Tech, 23rd. He pulls about 40 different ones, including Rob Bowron's, Kelly Ford. We try and get Parker's if we get him in time, but like we're talking 30 to 40 different ones. Texas Tech is 23rd, Kansas State 22nd, Texas 24th. They are all right there in a little collection.
I have Tech at 41st still. I didn't adjust a ton from last week, but that could ultimately change here pretty soon.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. You guys see good old Sonny Dykes rocking the Hypnotoad sweater again in the press conference today. It's very cool. Love seeing Hypnotoad. Now look, it's no Hypnotoad. It's not. But the vintage TCU Horned Frog hoodie that Homefield put out after TCU's win over Kansas State is stinking awesome. In fact, the TCU line, the whole line of TCU gear from Homefield is fantastic. I wore one of my shirts yesterday because it was like 2 weeks until I should play that. Now I feel safe doing so. But the vintage TCU stuff is great. The frog horn is cool. I still have the amazing rah-rah Horned Frog wearing a pimp coat, waving a pennant. I'm sorry, if you don't have a t-shirt of your mascot wearing a pimp coat and waving a pennant, like I don't know, you figure out how to make that happen. Keegan, oh, you could do that with the horse. Put a little pimp coat on a horse, let him wave a pennant, old school style. That would work.
Oklahoma would have to sell them the licensing stuff to do that first, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they have OU. Homefield has
not all their licensing. No. Want to speak for Homefield, but
they don't have all the licensing. They don't have everything for everybody.
I don't know if Homefield got even 50%. But I will leave that conversation up to them.
The OU collection is also good. The golf tee is awesome. The Sooner Schooner tee is super cool. And of course, the 2022 OU softball national championship t-shirt. Always nice to see them pop out some national championship shirts for schools when they win. That is all available at homefieldapparel.com. And you can use our promo code NETWORK12, N-E-T-W-O-R-K-1-2, and get 15% off your first order. Go do it now. It's the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel you will ever find. I also suggest, if you don't have Oklahoma State in your collection, OSU is very tight-lipped about a special release that they had on Saturday as well, right before kickoff of the homecoming game, which is the helmet that they wore for homecoming, which has the vintage Bucking Bronco logo on the orange helmet with Oklahoma State, both in a t-shirt and as a hoodie. It's the 1960s throwback logo that they wore for homecoming. It's freaking awesome. I think I have that shirt on the way in the mail. I'm looking for my home field bag to show up. It makes me happy. Oh, it makes me happy when a home field bag shows up. So you can get any of those. Of course, every Big 12 school, current and future, is available at home field now. Promo code NETWORK12, 15% off your first order. Be rocking the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel there is this college football and basketball season. And softball season can't get here soon enough. We love home field. I can't help it. It's not just that they advertise.
They're the best.
They are. They care. And Connor and Whitney and everybody over there is so cool and awesome and love them. Speaking of Oklahoma State, it was going to be UCF Cincinnati, and then UCF went and got blown out by East Carolina, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So our game of the week this week, the 10-12 Big 12 game of the week, is Oklahoma State on the road versus Kansas State. This is our prize picks game of the week, so that's what we're picking now. Oklahoma State opened as a favorite. Kansas State now the favorite by a point and a half. The over-under in this one is 56. 56 and a half. I think if you shop around, you can get that extra point there. Or half a point there. Daniel, you are up first, sir. What would you like?
This is a tough game. I'm going to have no real money on this. This is right down the line. This feels like another – we're going to get another crazy Big 12 matchup this week. Do we know, is Martinez, is he out for sure, or do we know yet, or has there been an official
There's
ruling
nothing
on
that? Official. Yeah, we will know sometime between now and when the game kicks off on Saturday.
Oh, crap. Does the backup play, or is it the third string guy that blew the 18-point lead that lost me money?
The third string guy was the guy who blew the lead, and the coaching, or the play calling decision with the third string guy. We will know who the starting quarterback is for Kansas State, but sometime between now and when the game kicks off on Saturday.
Adrian Martinez was out on the field. That guy played at least one drive. I put this out there, and Chris and Daniel, I don't know where you guys are at with this, but if that Oklahoma State-Texas game and Kansas State-TCU game kicked off at the same exact time and Kansas State didn't know the result that Texas had lost, because now all Kansas State barely has to do is win the next two games, and they're on, and it's not automatically, but they have more favorable schedule, their final three. I thought it was a little bit of gamesmanship. I thought it was, hey, if you're not 100%, we have to win the next two games, and it may be worth your time to be healthy. But we've seen Adrian Martinez play through near death, and he didn't play in Fort Worth last weekend. So I was pretty upset about that, but that's at least my working theory of in the brain of Keegan Renaud.
All right, I'm sold. Give me K-State. I swear I was about to go with Gundy. I love Gundy. But no, forget it. We're going with K-State.
It's hard not to. Keegan?
Yeah, I think, Philip, you know exactly where I'm going with this one. Oklahoma State's passing offense is their biggest increase from year over year. I have a tweet out there that says, is this going to be the year from 3 years ago? Is this going to be the year Oklahoma State's offense gets better? I said it 2 years ago. I asked the same question last year, and it kept getting worse. It's finally better this year, but now they're going up against a defense that is among the best passing defenses in the country and allowed efficiency and allowed passing yards. Daniel Green, I will say, TCU's run game did not pick up until number 22, as well as number one, Josh Hayes, their starting safety, were injured in the game. So TCU really didn't get going until everybody got hurt in the second quarter of that game last weekend. But I don't know if Daniel Green's healthy. Josh Hayes, I think, will play this week. And it sounds pretty good on Julius Brents, but he was obviously dealing with a hamstring injury and allowed a touchdown to Quentin Johnston while pulling what looked like and appeared he pulled his hammy. So there are some injuries on Kansas State's side I'm a little bit worried about defensively. But overall, you're looking at an offensive line from Oklahoma State that should be overwhelmed at times in this one with the group that Kansas State has. I don't know if we've all been kind of waiting for the turnover machine to turn back on Spencer Sanders a little bit. It has at times the last couple of weeks. I think this is a really, really bad matchup for Oklahoma State. I've got this game at like a pick 'em 2.5 anyway, so I think the line's fine. I just like Kansas State in this matchup. I think Adrian Martinez is going to play. I'm not a huge fan of Oklahoma State's defense, even though they did have some success in the second half last weekend. I think Kansas State's got probably the best offensive line, defensive line combo in the conference. Phillip, you can remember even from the preseason, that was what was carrying me on the Wildcats. And so I think they get it done this weekend in a big way and get one game closer to really almost cementing themselves in a Big 12 title game. Rematch with TCU.
All purple in Arlington. Could be. Chris?
Look at this OU guy not liking someone's defense. That's bold. But no.
Hey, all over how bad OU's defense was going to be the first 7 games of the year. I was none of it surprised me all that much.
No. I got to take shots at OU when I can.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much hit this nail on the head. I do think Howard's going to play if Martinez is unable to, but I mean, I kind of suspect Martinez is going to play kind of the same thing with like Oklahoma State hanging out. Will Sanders or will he not play? And yet he keeps walking on the field. Man, this is tough. I was actually impressed with Oklahoma State last week. I took Texas. I thought Texas was going to win by multiple scores. I did not think Oklahoma State had much of a chance in that game. And yet here we are. They put Texas away. I think Oklahoma State might be. I'm afraid to start believing in this Oklahoma State team. I think we're always on the fence on just how good are they. And I think last week they showed us a little bit of that. As the dog, I think we're going to take the Cowboys in this one.
Okay. Oklahoma State plus 1.5. Some fun stats for you. Oklahoma State is 13-3 against the spread in their last 16 on the road against winning teams. Kansas State 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 at home. Oklahoma State 5-2 straight up in the last 7 against Kansas State. These are two beat up, banged up, bruised up teams. Offensive line for OSU, defense for both teams. Quarterbacks are beat up. I can't imagine Adrian Martinez or Spencer Sanders did much in the way of practice this week. They both pretty much just spent the week sitting in an ice bath. For Sanders, hopefully under the neon palms. I think Kansas State's the right side here, and I do. And at 1.5, it feels like the right way to go. But I'm having such a hard time counting OSU out. So instead, I'm actually going to take the under 56.5. I do think this is a lower scoring affair. I know I've said that a few times, and it hasn't quite panned out. But I get the feeling with the way I think OSU will give up a couple of big plays. I think Kansas State will hold OSU's offense down a bit. I think OSU's defense will make adjustments. I think this is a low-scoring affair. I don't think it's won by more than a touchdown. And I kind of see one of those, like, K-State gets a score right at the end of the game to pull off a one-score win. I'll take the under. I think that's the best side of this one. Keegan, I know you need to bounce. So do me a favor real quick before you go. We got a few left to do. Let's get your thoughts real quick. UCF versus Cincinnati. Two future Big 12 teams facing off in their final year of the AAC. UCF, a 1-point favorite at home versus Cincy. What you got here, bud?
Yeah, I think UCF's a pretty fraudulent football team for the most part. Like, I hate to go strongly with it. But I was backing Cincinnati last weekend, and they decided to do what they did on their final drive, which is not like a Luke Fickell team all that well. I think Cincinnati's front, their defensive line, and that front is going to be really problemsome for a UCF team that tries to run the football and establish that phase of their game. And I think Cincinnati's offense is a little bit better than what people give them credit for. Really windy game in Fort Worth or in Dallas last weekend, and it may have skewed some data for Cincinnati's offense a little bit. I like Cincinnati. I have it among my picks this week. I added it very, very early. And so I like the Bearcats. I think they're an underdog right now. I even got them at minus. I got them as a 1-point favorite. And I'd probably continue to take them. And if I could get even that plus money, I'd feel better about it.
I believe I have Cincinnati plus 1 for you.
There you go. Yeah, I'd be fine with that either way.
thought you might be. Okay, Oklahoma on the road in Ames versus Iowa State. OU currently a 1-point favorite there. I see that. I see a pick'em. It looks like it's pretty much a 1-point or a pick'em.
Yeah, and I think the craziest part is that Circa Sports on site out in Vegas, you've got Oklahoma as a 2.5-point underdog, way juiced, but they're just not willing to move that line all that much. And they're a respected book, I think, amongst the betting market. I think Oklahoma is in a very interesting situation from an evaluation perspective here, Philip. But I know because you read me, you know where I'm going with this. You have 2.25 games with Dillon Gabriel and Oklahoma running, or you have 2 full games with Oklahoma running an even front defensively and with Dillon Gabriel healthy. You have, of the last four, you have 1.75 of a game where Oklahoma's playing with a backup quarterback and a defense that they're probably not going to run the rest of the year. So what do you do with Oklahoma's data from a perspective of, we really have seen like 3 different Oklahoma teams in 7 games. And so I think their evaluation, I don't know what you do with them. You look at SP Plus, they have, Bill C's got them, I think it's 17th in the country. You look at Beta Rank in that with in-season data is all there, I think in the lower 40s. And so I think it's really tough to properly evaluate where they're at. I will say this, my bias with Oklahoma lies in the second half of the Kansas State game. I think Kansas State has the best defense in the Big 12. Kansas State was completely healthy, and Oklahoma ran all over them in the second half, as well as moved the ball with ease. They had no issues at all. And guess what? Iowa State runs that same style of defense. I think Matt Campbell's going to keep it close. I honestly believe Oklahoma's worst path in this game is by getting up early and forcing Iowa State to throw the football. You kind of want Iowa State to play your game. You don't want Iowa State to get off and be a little, get off their tendencies. And if Hunter Deckers throws the ball 35, 40 times in this game, I think that's an ultimate problem for Oklahoma. But I'm going to go with the fact that I think Matt Campbell is going to play Matt Campbell's game. I think Oklahoma is going to play their game. I think they're going to run an even front, which I think is going to make it really tough for Iowa State to run on them. But obviously if Iowa State wants to find some success, it's going to be through the air. I added Oklahoma at 1. I thought this number would move closer to 3.5, 4 throughout the week. But it's gone reverse. So I'm interested to see what, you know, seems like some sharps and some power brokers in the betting industry have made a decision on this game. And I'm interested to see, it's an important data point game, I think, for both teams, for Iowa State and Oklahoma. I don't know if we have a really good feel on either of them.
Last Big 12 game real quick. I know you got to go. Texas Tech -2.5 at home versus Baylor in the Butt Bowl.
Yeah, I think the wrong team's favorite in this game. I kind of hinted at that earlier. Baylor, I think, is even still at the same line that they were at early in the week. I think Baylor's better on the offensive and defensive line. I think it's equal at quarterback. Style probably leads towards Texas Tech. But I think the wrong team's favorite in this game. I still like Baylor. I don't necessarily believe in them to make a run at the Big 12 title, but I do think they're a better football team than what the scores have indicated. You have to remember, Baylor is very aggressive on fourth down, right? And so if you're trying to play against the odds, or you're trying to play your odds right, when it flips against you, it could go really poorly, as we saw a little bit in that Oklahoma State game, a little bit here and there throughout the year. But I think the wrong team's favorite. And if you gave me and said, this game is going to be normal, there's not going to be any crazy turnovers, special teams plays, whatever, I like Baylor up to about a touchdown. But obviously you have to take into account that both teams are really aggressive on fourth down in this game. So it's going to be really, really tough. I think even at the end of the game, to have a really good feel on how each team performed, if you just looked at the score. But I do think the wrong team's favorite. So I'll take Baylor.
One non-Big 12 pick you got?
I do, and I want to go all the way to Lincoln, Nebraska. They're facing a team in Illinois that I think is still undervalued in the betting market a little bit, and I was really behind on catching up with how good Illinois is. I don't know if you guys, again, this is more my neck of the woods and what I do with RPM data, but Illinois' defense has like 6 or 7 NFL guys that have just popped up out of nowhere. We're talking not just like a fluky thing defensively for them in Champaign. We're talking about them being really good defensively. And so I think that's going to give some Nebraska some problems. I don't like Nebraska in the trenches in this game. Illinois, I got them out as a 7-point favorite early in the week. It may still be there. It could be at 7.5. I'd be fine with it either way. I think Illinois is going to win by 2 touchdowns.
I got you at 7.5.
There you go. That's fine with me.
Keegan, I know you got to bounce. Appreciate you, man. Everybody. RPM data is really cool. If you don't know about it, you can reach out to Keegan and ask him about it. I'm sure he'd be happy to tell you. You can also follow Keegan, our good friend, on Twitter at Keegan Renaud. Renaud is R-E-N-E-A-U. Keegan, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, bud. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sorry I have to leave out early, but yes, as always, Chris Daniels, good chatting with you guys. Philip, thanks again for having me on, and you always know, just text me and I'll be there.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, we will continue on. Thanks again to Keegan. Price pick, pick of the week. It's game of the week. It's OSU Kansas State, so we've got a pick to make here. Deuce Vaughn, rushing and receiving yards over under 115.5. Now, of course, last week's did hit under on Adrian Martinez under 14.5 completions because he didn't play for very long. It's the second time we've had an under hit because a player didn't make it through the game. Last time was Jalen Daniels on passing and rushing yards. Deuce Vaughn, 115.5 rushing and receiving yards combined over under. Daniel, do I just go ahead and put you for an under?
I was going to say, Daniel, you just want to play this to play it together on kind of three, one, two, three, under.
Under. Dash it.
If you have not been listening to the show, now is a time to sign up for Prize Picks and listen, because the under for us this year has only lost one time, and we've been doing it for now 9 weeks. So we are 8-1 on the under. The only one we missed was Jalen Daniels over under 180.5 passing yards back in week 4, I think, with Duke. Yeah. Deuce Vaughn, 115.5 rushing and passing yards. Look, again, we take no responsibility for your decisions, but it's worked out pretty well so far. So we'll all take the under. We're just going to keep riding this. Of course, you can ride it as well at Prize Picks, the best place for daily fantasy. It is you against the numbers. You go and pick an over-under. Pick 3 to 5 that you like, players you like. You can use it for college football, NFL, NHL, NBA, baseball, whatever you want. They've got pretty much every sport imaginable. We talked about this, Chris, last week. They got not frisbee. I know that offends the frisbees, the disc golf people. They got disc golf. They've got women's sports. All you got to do is go to Prize Picks, download the app. There's a link in the show notes if you want. Download the Prize Picks app. When you do, use the promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12, and get a 100% deposit match up to $100. So if you deposit $1, they'll give you $1. If you deposit $100, they'll give you $100. And everything in between that you can use on Prize Picks. Just go. Deuce Vaughn, 115.5 rushing and receiving yards. We would suggest the under. Do what's right for you, but go and sign up. You're going to have a ton of fun. Heard a lot of good stuff about Prize Picks. I've been enjoying it. Go get yourself signed up. Use that promo code and do not miss out on that 100% deposit match. They'll have college basketball. That would be Daniel's bread and butter, which we'll be talking about more coming up here in a couple of weeks once it kicks off. They've got college basketball, men's and women's, if you want to take part in that as well. Okay, we got a few games to get to, and I should have brought the power cord because I'm going to make sure that the surface makes it all the way through this recording. Next up is Central Florida, UCF versus Cincinnati. As we mentioned, UCF currently a 1-point favorite over the Bearcats. Over under in this one is 56. Weird that some of them don't have a total. It just says pick.
It's
pick,
even.
Pick. No. On the total. They don't have a total number. It just says pick.
Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying.
So I've only seen like 3 books that have the number. I see 56.
If that's the case, I'm going over.
you can't go over pick. That's not how this works.
At least 1 point will be scored. I'll bet on it.
Chris, it is your turn, man. what would you like?
We heard Keenan, like, I mean, what are we gonna say? I don't know anything about these two teams all the way this far into the season. I just don't know what we're gonna get out of either one of them. Cincinnati is winning. Why is this game even? I don't like this line where it's at. Also don't like that I keep picking the road team in these close lines. I'm gonna take UCF. Something seems weird with this one at home. ESPN and FEI actually really likes UCF in this game for some reason. I'm going to take UCF.
Okay, UCF minus one. I don't trust UCF. Now, look, last week's game, don't let the final score confuse you. John Rhys Plumlee turned the ball over 4 times. That had a major impact on the outcome of that game. UCF's defense, which is what has been the backbone for this team because the offense is massively inconsistent. The defense had a bad game. It's going to happen. They're going to come home. This is a big game. Maybe they're looking forward to this one. Looking ahead, Cincinnati, I still think, is going to make the title game. It's either going to be against UCF or Tulane, most likely. I don't trust UCF. I don't. They're an inconsistent team. They could play a great game. They're good in the second halves, except for last week. They have been. I don't trust them. And while Cincinnati, I don't want to try and spend the time pulling up their, let's just pull up their against the spread record. Like, they're 2-4-1 because they just don't cover, but they win. Like, and that's the problem with betting on Cincinnati is like, if I can just bet them straight up, then I will, because I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win this game. They open as a 2-point favorite. That made more sense, but I get them as a dog, even on the road. I will take Cincinnati to continue their ridiculously long AAC scoring or winning streak. I'll take the Bearcats on the road. Daniel?
I'm going with the over here, especially if you're going to let me grab that circa 55.5. Yeah. So, the front seven rushing defense is a little bit of both these teams' strengths when you profile the defense. So, this feels like a game where, either both coaches are just going to run into a brick wall over and over again. Now, it could happen, sure, and then the game's probably going to go under. But to find offensive success with such a short line where they might be trading scores, I think both teams need to look to passing, and especially Cincinnati passing on UCF. That's where they're going to find their most success. So this feels like a game where both teams can end up in the high 20s and will end up in the high 20s. So give me that over 55.5.
I like it. Okay. We move on to Ames. Iowa State and Oklahoma both coming off of their idle week. Oklahoma currently a 1-point favorite on the road against Iowa State. The over-under in this one has disappeared on me.
56.
Very nice.
Flat.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's me first. Okay, I have some things to write off. This is a matchup of strength versus strength. That's Oklahoma's defense versus Iowa State's offense. And weakness versus weakness, OU's defense versus Iowa State's offense. Iowa State's defense, number 7 in stop rate, number 10 in defensive EPA per play, number 9 in defensive FEI ratings by both Football Outsiders and BCF Toys. Let me talk about Oklahoma under Dylan Gabriel. Let's set aside the games Gabriel didn't play. Now, against UTEP, let's use the FEI defensive ratings. UTEP's defense, 112. Kent State, 117. Nebraska, 101. Kansas, 107. TCU, because remember, Dylan Gabriel played for most of the first half and was, for the most part, ineffective. Their defense was ranked 14th. In FEI, Iowa State's is ranked 9th. This is the best defense in the Big 12. We keep saying it. It's the best defense Oklahoma has faced so far this season. They get Dylan Gabriel back. Here's the question for Iowa State. They are getting healthier. Matt Campbell has said as much. I talked to our buddy Levi Stevenson of Wide Right Natty Light. He says so as well. Not healthy. They're not. I wouldn't say they use the word healthy. I would say they are healthier. Run game has been an issue for Iowa State. Keegan's right. If they try and ground and pound the ball, the run game has not been effective for Iowa State. They've got to throw the ball to win in this game. So what can Iowa State's 53rd ranked offense do against Oklahoma's 74th ranked defense? Because that, to me, is the question. Iowa State will slow down Oklahoma's offense. Can the offense for Iowa State do enough? Here's the other big question I'm going to pose. Oklahoma's special teams, it's pretty good. They're fairly high ranked. I'm not going to go pull it back up. I think it was top 20, if I recall correctly. Iowa State special teams are ranked 115th. Iowa State special teams, Matt Campbell, during a press conference, said that they felt that they had success on special teams. Let me give you the FEI special teams rankings for Matt Campbell in order from 2016. 2016, 8th, very nice. 2017, 62nd. 2018, 66th. 2019, 84th. 2020, 90th. 21, 101. 22, 115. Their special teams cost them games. For a team that plays as many close games as Iowa State does, and they average about 6 a season, they've already played 5 one-score games this year. They average about 6 a year. They've played 5 already. They've still got like 5 games left to go. Having special teams that bad is costing you games. Iowa State would win more games if they actually would put something into special teams and made them not absolutely god-awful. Oklahoma's special teams are pretty good. Iowa State's are pretty bad. I get a bad feeling because My head says Iowa State's defense is good enough to get this win at home after a week off. My great fear in this game is Oklahoma has a big special teams play that changes this game. That's my big fear. I think Iowa State should win this game. Their special teams is so bad it scares me that Oklahoma's is effective enough to pull off a big play that gets them to the edge in this game. This game will be close. I think Iowa State should win. With that point total, which I think I can get a... I don't know. I'm going to take Iowa State. I think they should win this game. I do. I think they should win this game. But I'm very worried about Iowa State. They've been doing... All they can do right now is lose, like, 1, 2, 3, 7-point games. Daniel?
This is a tough matchup here to cap. The short line, obviously. Let's also just celebrate that fact. I mean, this game's basically, we got Oklahoma at Iowa State. Iowa State 0-4 in conference, and this game's a pick 'em. Come on, we did it. Sooners in the mud. You love to see it. I actually think this is another situation where this game is going to go over. Iowa State, I think, is going to be forced to pass, and I don't think Oklahoma's D is as good as – well, I know Oklahoma's defense is not as good as everyone was hoping that it would be this year. And so a path to success for Iowa State will be to throw the ball, and I think Oklahoma's going to be able to also move the ball on Iowa State. Again, we're going to see teams trade scores, a very similar game script to what we just talked about in the UCF game. This game's going to go over the number of 56. Give it to me.
Chris?
Yeah, I really like that pick with the over. Because I do a thing. I agree. I mean, this is a little strength on strength, but there should be points in this one. Keegan mentioned that he thought OU, we're going to see OU go on a little run here, get some wins in their belt. And like OU typically does. No matter how bad they start, they typically get it together by midseason and make a nice little run. And even when you think they're down and out, somehow find a way to win the Big 12. I don't know if that's possible this year, but this is a game we're expecting to win. The only problem with that is I was at the Oklahoma-Kansas game, and Kansas is better QB play away from that being an entirely different game. I would go as far to say is they had a chance to win that game with a little bit better QB play. There were just throws, there were just misses by Bean. It just, you know, he's not Jalen Daniels, and that's okay. But I think Oklahoma caught a break there. Also coming off the break, both teams off a bye. Daniel, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but what's Campbell's record coming off a bye?
Oh, no clue off the top of my head.
Okay. I like it. I at Jack Trice, give me Iowa State. I think they get the win here.
All right. I like it. The Butt Bowl. Huge game this year. Absolutely massive. Baylor not completely out of it for the Big 12 title game. Needs to get this one. Texas Tech coming off a massive win over West Virginia. This game is insanely close. The line is 2.5 in favor of the home team, that being Texas Tech. The total in this one, 62.5. I think it's your turn, Daniel.
Three overs in a row. What is going on? Gosh, dude, it's opposite day today. Yeah, I picked BYU -3. It is opposite day. Texas Tech.
You need the last day after 1-7.
Touche, my friend. Look, Texas Tech, in the last month, their pace on offense has just skyrocketed. And I haven't seen a ton of people talking about it, but like in between snaps, there's something like 21 seconds or something like that. They're getting into that, like when Chip Kelly first brought out what he was doing up in Oregon, they're getting into like serious speed on Texas Tech. So I think they're going to keep that pace this week against Baylor and try to keep that defense on their heels. On the flip side of that, Baylor's passing game is actually okay this year. And we have a situation where Texas Tech is sort of in the lower third of defenses, even the lower quarter of giving up explosive plays. And so I just feel like with Texas Tech's pace and Baylor with some success through the air and Texas Tech just registering a lot of explosive plays, you get these teams starting to trade scores. Both these teams end up in the 30s. We go over our number of wherever we're sitting, 62 and a half, 63, wherever we're sitting right now.
62.
One of these teams, one of these teams is going to get into the high 30s. I don't know who's going to win, but these offenses are going to take somebody there. So give me that over.
Chris?
Yeah, I just don't believe in Baylor. As good as you think they are on paper, this is a team that lost to West Virginia. You know, like they're just super inconsistent, and I think we accepted this a few weeks ago that they're not as good as we thought they were going to be. And I'm not going to just jump back on this train because, you know, they beat Kansas. Texas Tech, I mean, this is one low spread. I'm just going to take the home team because this game, legit, I mean, it can go either way. It can do anything. I don't think anything's off the table with the outcome of this game. So I'm just going to take the home team and cross my fingers.
How tight is this game? Okay, so three different people who I respect who put out their projections each week. I'll start with Parker, you know, at Stats of War. His advanced stats preview has Texas Tech with a 50.26% chance to win this game, a point differential margin of 0.09 in Texas Tech's favor. Let's go to BCF Toys, who I mentioned. That would be their FEI projection. Baylor with a 50.7% chance to win and a projected point margin of 0.2. Let's go to Bill Connolly, great of S&P Plus. Baylor as a favorite with a 57% chance and a point margin of 3. This one's going to be close, boys and girls. Real close. I'm not touching it. I'm taking the over with Daniel. I absolutely agreed. You mentioned the speed with which they are playing. Shout out to Hummer, I don't know whose name, first name just completely escaped my grasp there, and I'm really sorry about that, Chris Hummer on Twitter, who has been tracking points per or plays per minute. He had it in 2021, and he's been tracking 2022. He was nice enough to share his data with us. No team has seen a greater increase from 2021 to 2022 than Texas Tech. 2021, 2.27 plays per minute. 2022, thus far, 2.87, a full 0.6 plays per minute more for Texas Tech. They go on a whole lot faster. Oklahoma is second in that in 0.59. Oklahoma State at 0.47, the next biggest increase from last year. And they are the fastest team, by the way. Oklahoma State at 2.88 plays per minute. Texas Tech at 2.87, OU at 2.84 this year. Next closest is Texas at 2.41. They're going a whole lot faster, to your point. I think this is a higher scoring game. I think Tech's figured a lot of things out. I think Baron Morton's probably going to be the starting quarterback. I like the offense with him there. Baylor is suspect to give up big plays. I don't know which way this game goes. I would lean Texas Tech. I think it's going to be a close one. I will take the over with you, Daniel. All right, that leaves our non-Big 12 pick, boys. Chris, you're up first. What would you like?
You know, I had some success last week going against Boston College, and I think we're going to go back to that well.
Yes, the UConn sicko.
Yeah, the UConn Huskies, they're not a good team, but they're doing well against the spread, and Boston College is not. I'm just going to take UConn as the home team and take the points. I think I can get 7.5.
You can.
Okay. Yeah. You can. I like that little half point cushion. So I'm going to take UConn.
Okay. Daniel.
Taking a total here. We're grabbing under 55.5 in South Alabama, Arkansas State game. South Alabama is a big road fave here, and their strength is sort of, turn it into that boa constrictor in the second half when they have a lead. There is supposed to be rain. There's going to be 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. This is just a situation where it's going to be hard for Arkansas State to find success scoring against South Alabama. And even though Arkansas State, they have a weak defense, so South Alabama is going to be able to move the ball. It's not South Bama's game to go be putting up, you know, getting into the mid high 30s and running it up on somebody. They'd rather just move the chains, you know, just keep moving the ball, hold on to the ball, and really suffocate a team in the second half with the lead. So 55 and a half with the weather seems high to me. This should be 51 and a half, 52. Let's go cash that under.
Every time Daniel talks about 10 or 15 mile an hour winds, I don't know if it's the Oklahoman in me or what, but every time I'm like, so there's a breeze.
There's a nice cool breeze.
So, hey, it's hard to play college ball in a cool breeze, okay? It's hard for these guys.
I have been terrible this year at my non-Big 12 picks. In fact, one of the reasons I've been successful in the past is I've done a good job with my non-Big 12 picks. Very bad this year. Very, very bad. I have missed my last four in a row on ones that I felt pretty confident on, too. So I don't feel good about anything here. So I'm looking at a couple where I just kind of off the cuff go, okay, if you say so. And so I'm torn. On the one hand, I don't know why UCLA is only a 16.5 point favorite at home versus Stanford, who is not good. UCLA coming off that loss, I would expect them to rebound. I don't know why Arizona State is only as a 13.5 point favorite over Colorado. I know it's on the road, but Colorado is like Arizona State's not great, but Colorado's absolute worst. I don't know. This is terrible. And I have to make a pick because we all need to get out of here. So I am literally going to just scroll to something blindfolded and point at it. And
he's going to cash it.
Oh, gosh.
He's doing this on video, too. So we can tell if he's actually.
Yeah, he hit it.
I have landed on North Texas, Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is a 10-point favorite at home versus North Texas. Give me Western Kentucky minus 10 versus North Texas. That's what I'll take. Don't ask me why. I got nothing. That's what I'm right with. Because I don't know any other way to get these right. So we're just going to start trying random things. If I could spin a wheel and try it, we would. But I don't. So that wraps us up this week. You guys are awesome as always. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you again to our good friend Keegan for popping in for as long as he could. We went a little long today. Nah, we're all right. I don't care. We have fun. You all enjoy it. You don't care how long we go. You can follow us on Twitter at 1012 Network, T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. Don't forget to download the Prize Picks app and use that promo code NETWORK12 for 100% deposit match up to $100. You can get 15% off your first order at Homefield with NETWORK12 as your promo code. He is Daniel Alexander. You can follow him on Twitter at DannerB7. Ask about the Slack chat if you want some betting advice. The other guy you have heard is Chris Ross. That is at Chris Ross Sports on Twitter. Ask him about disc golf. He knows a thing or two. If that's something you're interested in. As I said, 1012 Network for us. We will be back on Monday. We should have a big announcement that I am very excited about coming up at the perfect time of year. So you're going to want to tune in on Monday to find out about that. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.